News Radio WJPF, day 25. I'd like to thank my friend Heron Mayor Steve Fortini joining the studio. First off, Mr. Mayor, it's good to see you again.
It's good to see you, Tom.
Hey, you had city council last night?
We had city council last night.
Yeah, anything interesting?
Well, a few things. We signed off on the new labor contract with Fraternal Order of Police.
Right.
And I think we came up with a good contract.
How long had they been without a contract, Steve?
They haven't been. This will be one of the few times that actually it'll go into effect May 1st.
So when the old contract goes, the new one kicks right in?
The new one's in place, ready to go. First time in a long time that's happened in that timely a manner. And there were some good things that came out of that, or as a part of that process. First, the FOP side of the negotiations, as well as the city side negotiations, went very well. Professional quality cooperation between the two groups through the process.
Not at any time did anybody look at each other across the table and go, I'm going to cut you, man.
No, because we didn't have that type of...
And I think to you, I literally get the idea that that you're relieved.
Yeah. Very much so.
Yeah.
But both sides of the table did a fine job in the negotiation process. And one of the things that the city was able to achieve, and the impact is really important on the long range for the city, because we could not sustain what we were doing in terms of some of the wage benefits and so forth like that with the FOP. So those long-range benefits, they'll actually start May 1st with the new hire. But one of the things we achieved was a second tier in our department. New hires go in at a second tier level, still where they'll make a good salary, good income, but something much more palatable for the city to be able to maintain in the years ahead. So we have an older department. We're going to be filling several new positions as the guys retire over the next couple of years now. So the savings overall is really for the long range, although we will experience some savings right off the bat.
Yeah.
On that.
The second tier idea, I think, is one of the things that I find interesting, Steve, because time and time again, and literally on a daily basis, I'm writing about unsustainable pension debt in state, local governments, and across the world, in fact, that we've made huge commitments, haven't made the payments to be able to keep the pensions up, and pension debt is really a huge item for a lot of people. And you're making first steps towards making sure you don't literally bite off more than you can chew, promise more than you can give.
And that's really a big part of it. We have to look, Tom, beyond today, tomorrow. We have to look out 10 years, 15 years, 20 right. years, and so forth like that. And if we don't address it now, it's really going to sneak up and be a problem on those years ahead.
See, this philosophy and the acknowledging that this on this Heron, on this level that you are, is something that needed to be done in Springfield about 20 years ago, to recognize there's something coming that we can't deal with, instead of keeping making promises and then I won't be here to have to worry about it.
Well, sometimes that's the politically expedient thing to do.
Right.
And perhaps that's what's brought it about, but that's not the disposition or the attitude we have.
Right. Well, you're on the front lines. It's not like you don't know a police officer when he walks up to you. We're all right next to each other, shoulder to shoulder, literally speaking. It's not like you're out of reach and distance. I think that sense of responsibility comes from that intimacy.
Well, there's a lot of truth to that. And I'm proud of the department that we have. When I became mayor and met with the FOP initially, the announcement of the new chief with our restructuring, two things I told them that I wanted to achieve. One, I wanted our community to have pride in our department. I think we're seeing a shift in that direction in a big way with some of the activities, increased performance and so forth like that. And the second thing I wanted our department to take pride in themselves, being proud to be a Heron officer. And we're seeing that coming around too. And the spirit of cooperation, spirit of participation in the community interaction is much better than what it has been in the past. We got a ways to go, perhaps, and we will, but I'm really
the people of Heron have really high expectations for your police department.
Yes.
And and I do that because it's interpreting it. And I'm a member of a group in Heron called Venting Heron Venting Group.
I'm familiar with it.
You're familiar with it. And when I look at how people talk and what they think about and what they complain about in some cases, it's law enforcement, it's the guy next door, it's and there's an expectation that the police, I think, sometimes can be everywhere instantly and be omniscient in dealing with items. And I do you get that sense that it's almost inhuman sometimes, people's expectations?
Well, sometimes that is. We're 7.5 miles long as a community, about 3.5 miles wide at the widest part. And our past situation's been where we've had a limited number of officers available to be on the street, and if you got a call at one end of town, it's something's going on the other end of town.
Right.
It makes it more of a challenge to be responsive. And that's a part of the new contract that we're looking at starting May 1st is it's going to give us an expanded use of part-time officers as well.
To fill in those gaps and have more feet on the street?
Right, feet on the street without taking anything away from our full-time officers whatsoever, but more manpower, which improves the level of protection for the community, and it's also an officer safety factor.
Right.
Where you've got someone right here, right now, you know, whereas you're waiting and waiting and waiting, you know, for help to arrive, perhaps, in some cases. So we're pleased with a number of things in the outcome of the contract. The negotiation process was very, very good. And very back and forth, but yet the end product, I think, for both sides, well, obviously both sides agree to it, so
compromise, something that other people talked about.
Springfield involved, yeah, in this one, but
because they compromise. You think the biggest compromise was the tier two aspect?
The tier two was major for the city.
Yeah,
there's no two ways about it.
I can
and we've
see
been
that.
Able to achieve that with some of our other contract negotiations with other bargaining units in the city thus far.
Swanson Hydraulics moving into Maytag?
They are moved in.
They are moved in. Good.
They have moved in. They just finished up round one of training of their first initial wave of employee hiring about two and a half, 3 weeks ago now. They brought in their national safety director out of West Virginia and did the training with those guys, and I was out by there last week, in fact.
Good.
And I see more equipment arriving and people scurrying around and things starting to happen.
And jobs being available.
Yeah. They're starting off with a limited number of folks to get things sort of ironed out and organized, and there will be future hirings coming.
You've also do you have any idea what we're talking about with number of jobs, by the way, with Swanson? We'll call it the first phase.
First phase, probably somewhere between 20-24.
Not bad.
Yep.
All good paying jobs, too?
Absolutely.
I mean, because you've got to have some level of
expertise.
Yeah, there's some expertise here.
Yeah.
Do they specialize in coal mine hydraulics, automobile? I mean,
In this region, that would be one of the things that they're looking at. Longwall mining, as an example, uses a series of big
ceiling jacks.
Yeah. And a series of big hydraulic rams, if you will. I mean,
right.
These things are a few feet tall and, you know, darn near foot round,
yeah,
and there's a lot of them on one long wall. So, but they have other aspects too that they're looking at in this region, particularly is in the oil field industry. They also do the hydraulics on equipment, Caterpillar being one of their big clients,
right,
in fact. So they're starting off small here with hopes and expectations of really having a good growth region.
Why did they pick Heron?
Part of it, I think, is the strategic location.
The 1357 intersection?
Yeah, we touch a big, big portion of the United States.
Right.
And there's a lot of equipment out there and about, as well as we can touch the Gulf Coast rather easy because they're very big into the offshore drilling.
I never thought about
well.
That. You get on 57 and you just start going south. Yeah.
And so strategic location is a part of it. The facility that we made available to them
right.
is a big part of that as well.
Did you have to incentivize that move?
No.
Okay. Wow. That's pretty good. You know, a lot of times you'll hear somebody go, we'll give you 10 years of free water.
No. There was no incentives of that type committed to.
Good.
Now, we did, through Mantricon, Kathy Lively's organization, assist them in some of the hiring, screening process,
right.
training, and so forth, and some funding on a temporary basis for displaced workers, which is going back to work, helping them out in some of those ways. But those are standard types of offerings that we'd make to anyone.
Great.
It's we're proud to have them.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And, you know, they're saying even more. I mean, because I heard, I saw a Polish report said maybe as many as 100, 120 people.
We hope we can help them be successful and attain that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if that was speculation or a hard fact, but it was reported in one story I read. Hey, before I let you go, one other item. And I'm sorry, but I've been a little vague on this. Around the cemetery, rescinding some property taxes?
No, there was a request to purchase some cemetery property
right
on the outer skirts of it next to some private property. And after long consideration, a lot of input from the citizenry and so forth, the council decided not to make that property available for right. sale.
So it was part of the cemetery?
Yeah, well, it's on a sort of a buffer around the cemetery on
yeah,
the outer
right.
road
I got
between
you.
That road and the private property.
Yeah, it's a, there's a place like that in Carterville, too. I've got a friend of mine. Well, we used to live right there, so there was this open area. And yeah, I had said, right. so no, don't sell it. Keep that in the city's hands. Keep the buffer there.
That's exactly where we're at.
Okay.
And part of that, you know, through this process, too, one of the things that's going to spin out of this is that one time it's going to put an appoint an ad hoc advisory committee to the cemetery and to help provide some guidance and so forth like that. But we're going to go a different direction there. In talking to some of the folks in town, there's going to be the creation of Friends of Heron Cemetery, its own foundation, of its own ability to raise funds when need be or appropriate to do so, and to work in a positive manner on behalf of the city cemeteries and doing some landscape works
it's
and enhancements and so forth like that.
And the reason why I say this is a good idea, maybe it's a little different for you, but having grown up in really rural Illinois, I find that I have my friends and relatives in cemeteries that are way out in the country.
That's true.
And as a matter of fact, there's one that I go to in particular each year on Memorial Day because they are there collecting money at the front gate because, you know, chances are you come by Memorial because they need it to keep it up.
Mm-hmm.
And what I see is the same thing that you talked about with the pension issues of looking over the horizon, seeing where we're going to be in 10 years and not letting something bad happen. I see this foundation having that possibility to do the same thing for the cemetery.
Right, and there's already some discussion in terms of some enhancements to the cemetery by
right.
way of some landscape screening and, you know, improvements on some of the things that we do there already.
Right.
So
makes sense.
It's moving. We've got a couple things if you got a second time.
I do. I've got more time for you always.
All right. April 30th, which is Saturday from 10 to 2, we're going to be doing a drug pickup at Kroger.
Oh, you're doing Walmart. Where the pills and the... Yeah.
Right, where you can bring them in, no questions asked.
Is that towards you doing that in cooperation with the Williamson County Sheriff's Department?
And with that in the Department of... DEA,
yeah.
On that, so that'd be April 30th, 10 to 12 at Kroger and Walmart, and Thursday noon is National Day of Prayer, which I think, particularly in today's times, is more and more important aspect of our lifestyle and culture, and we'll be holding a ceremony at 12 noon at City Hall Thursday.
Okay. Staying with the pills, this is a big deal. One of the reasons why, and I think some people don't realize this, the money for this was originally cut off, and they weren't going to mm-hmm. do it anymore. And I think we had particularly large success in cooperating with the Williamson County Sheriff's Department on these past projects where we have seen literally pounds upon pounds,
yeah.
and every time we do it, the number grows. And it sure beats seeing it being properly disposed of as opposed to in our water supply.
In the water supply. Or, you know, in the trash and someone picks it out. But one other thing real quick is our new farmer's market. We're going to have a ribbon cutting May 6th at 11 o'clock. It's immediately north of City Hall on the Presbyterian Church's parking lot. They've been kind enough to let us use that facility for the farmer's market coming this summer. We've got a number of vendors already lined up. This is just a ceremonial cutting of the ribbon. Say, here it is, put up the banner, and we're going to be ready to go May 21st.
All right, first dibs on strawberries for me. What are you going to be looking for? Fresh strawberries.
I was born under the sign of a strawberry. So my mother and grandmother were steaming strawberries when my mother went to the hospital to have me. So that's always been one of my
same way with my brother.
There.
Yeah, my mom says I'm tired of waiting on him. I'm just going to go out and pick strawberries till I go in labor, and it worked apparently.
Well, that's pretty much the same.
And then she wouldn't go to the hospital till they were all up in the jars because she couldn't wait for the days to get back; they'd be ruined. So
one thing we're particularly proud of, Tom, if I can mention real quick, on May the 29th, we're going to have the dedication of the Memorial Garden on the City Hall property. It's the fountain area, the new lamppost, the planters, and so forth like that. Particularly if you have a chance to drive by in the evening, the lampposts are lit up and everything's aglow and looking very, very good. Another community project.
This is part of your big revitalization.
This is part of our downtown revitalization. And the really nice thing here is that the dollars it's taken to get it to where it is, and it is gorgeous, has all been volunteer dollars. There's no city tax dollars involved in this whole process. Also, a lot of good volunteer help along the way and things ahead. So,
you know, that's almost a universal thing. When you look at a community that's getting something accomplished, you will hear those words somewhere involved. We had a lot of great volunteers that helped.
Oh, that's the only way to do it.
It's
just like
the only way to get it done.
Coming up, same thing.
Yep. Wish we had more time, but we got to run. But yeah, Heronfest. So we'll talk to you again closer to Heronfest. It's not that far. It's not that far away, but we can make a little more time. And we've got a lot of business covered. Yeah, we've got a lot of time. And strawberries.
My favorite.
And my favorite, too.